Everyone's afraid they're going to miss something.
Yeah. There's a compulsive email checker.
Well, the only reason that we're having this call today, we were going to cancel this, and I guess I forgot to do it. And then some people called and asked about whether we were having one, and they're not on yet, but I'm sure they will be. Is I thought that people could introduce themselves to Jonathan, who's taken Joanne's place, and we would just go over some of the things that we mentioned at the meeting last week in Washington. I hope everyone got home safely with no problems, and that I guess everybody's taken care of so far that had any dealings with the hotel that we need to take care of.
Hello, Ed. It's Ken.
Hey, Ken.
How are you?
All right.
Good. Tina's not going to be on. She's in the middle of some meeting.
All right. Well, I think that there's no one from NIAAA on, right? So this cannot be an official call of the consortium anyway, since they have to be on for that to happen. And again, this call was going to be canceled, Ken, as you know, but then I forgot to do it. So after you called me, we decided we'd have it anyway, just so that no one got hung up and was just hanging on hold forever.
Okay.
Waiting for something to happen. So I just... Oops, someone else is here.
This is Andy Aronson.
Hi, Andy. I'll have Jonathan introduce himself and tell you a little bit about him and some of his qualifications at our meeting. But he's the contact person now rather than Joanne. And so, Jonathan, you want to say hello to everybody?
Sure. Hi, everybody. You've probably seen emails coming from me either this morning or in the last week or two. I started about 2 weeks ago, and I actually just moved to San Diego from the University of Pittsburgh, where I was coordinating a National Science Foundation education grant. So I'm glad to be here. And if you have any questions, I think you've seen my email, so you can email them to me, or just if you have Joanne's phone number, it's the same phone number, or I can give it to you now if you...
He's just the new guy on board.
Fong's here.
Hi, Fong. How are you?
Hi.
All right. Well, I just... By August 1st, sending me a 5-page outline of their proposal. I think it would be great to show how you're going to integrate that with other projects that are being proposed, which makes it incumbent upon you to need the resources of another project to get in touch with those people controlling those resources and to get their agreement that you're going to be able to do the project. It's also come to my attention that if projects have budgets over $500,000, you need to get prior approval before you can even submit them. And I think it would be a good idea to include a draft budget, even though we understand that it'll just be a rough one, but it'll give us an idea of how many projects we can conceivably plan to put in this thing, or how many are going to have to be triaged at one point or another, either by a group. And Susan Meyer sent me the names of some possible reviewers of these grants, or by the study section when they put that together.
Do you need something from the Informatics Corps, Ed?
Yeah, I need a kind of a 5 pages of what you plan to do and what that budget would be, and you know, if you're going to add anything, new databases or new techniques or whatever to verify data and things like that. So,
okay.
Whatever you're going to kind of...
You know, we're trying to pick up from what we've seen from the other projects, but to some extent, I guess I'll just put out a request. Anybody who thinks they're doing something new out there and has new sites of data to contact us and let us know that that needs to be handled as well.
The other thing is that there... some issues have come up since our meeting about plans for publications, and if people do have plans that where they want to integrate data sets, they need to talk to the people who control those data. For example, if you want to use data from Site A and Site C, you need to touch base with both the people from Site A and C to make sure that your plans for publication are in line with what they would like done in integrating the data. So it's like the dysmorphologist data sample and the neurobehavioral sample, that they have to work together, and not one group can go ahead and put out a paper without taking into the other group's desires into account. So you can do that directly, which is probably the easiest, or I can be a go-between on that. But our plan for publication is that you submit an idea for that to me, and then we check it out and make sure it's amenable to everybody. Are there any other things that you thought are, you know, business-related that needed to be taken care of after the meeting in Washington?
Ed?
Yeah.
It's Charlie. I sent you and Michael and Tina an email about a half an hour ago or an hour ago. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'll just bring it up here. I got a call this late this morning from Susan Smith, who many of you know, at the University of Wisconsin. And she was querying me about a number of methodological and other details in an animal model that she's pursuing, surprisingly enough, of nutritional deficiency and micronutrient supplementation. Our conversations were remarkably similar to conversations we've had in the consortium. So I sent you an email saying that I think it would be really appropriate for us to consider her as inviting her to become part of the consortium if she thinks she's far enough along on this to be able to talk with Tina, Jennifer, and whoever else. She happens to know fairly well. She knows Carl Keene fairly well. Mm-hmm. And so I think, and she's on the same track, I think, that Tina and Carl are. And I think it'd be something that we at least ought to have some conversations. She ought to have conversations with them and probably with you and Michael about whether this is something that could be brought into the consortium, either in a pilot kind of component part or maybe a developmental thing or as part of Tina's.
I mean, I think it's a good idea. I know Susan, and she was the person, one of the people who developed the chick model. And was looking at facial dysmorphology, in fact, in the chick.
Right.
She is I think she's, her training is biology, but she's in a department of nutrition, right?
That's correct. She's a developmental biologist in a really a world-class one in some ways. But and she's in nutrition, and she's developing these studies in collaboration with some of her nutritional colleagues.
Well, Charlie, do you want to ask her to, you know, or to put her in touch with the right people?
I think I've done that in the email, and I saw that Tina has already replied to me and to everybody that I emailed. So
okay.
I think she'll be set on the right trail.
All right. So does someone want to invite her to submit a 5-page proposal as either a developmental project or?
I think after she talks with Tina,
mm-hmm.
Then it's kind of up to her. I think she should be invited to do it, but it's up to her to see how that will take shape.
And I do appreciate, I know that, Keith, you've sent me, and I do appreciate that. I know I got one this morning, and I haven't had a chance to go through it yet, but I do appreciate everybody's input into either selecting or suggesting additional projects or suggesting how these projects can be integrated or how the whole consortium can be put together. I think that was the weakest thing of the meeting. I think everybody got their say at what they, you know, planning to do, but I don't think we really worked out a structure of how all of it was going to happen. And I think that that's something that we're going to have to spend a lot more time on now. I know that I sent a few emails to Michael with some ideas about some things, but waiting to hear back from him before we share those any further. And so I guess that's about it. From here, does anyone have anything else they'd like to add?
Ed?
Yeah.
Is talking about the alcohol as a factor, is the dose and frequency is still the theme of the new proposal?
You know, I'm reading through a draft right now, in fact, or I was earlier this morning, and I can tell you exactly what they're asking or saying about quantity and frequency. It says, correlate human structural and neurobehavioral functional data with that derived from appropriate animal models where control of quantity, frequency, cofactors is under experimental control. So it's obviously still in here, as I think that's the only place it's mentioned. And it's mentioned under the animal models part of the of the proposed RFA.
In that regard, I know that many sites has collected some information regarding the alcohol. Like Phil has already have some his part. But will this information be uploaded and available to being analyzed? So this will be have a better insight for the animal and human correlations.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. There is one other point where this is mentioned in here. It says, from retrospective and prospective alcohol quantity, alcohol frequency, gestational period exposure data, determine whether specific outcomes relate to any particular quantity, frequency, or gestational period pattern, or whether severity may be related to either of those. And that's under the case for diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the database, I got this morning from Tina about my inquiry into why there wasn't anything in there yet, that she's emailed Phil for his exposure data. Also asked Sandy Jacobson to get hers uploaded as well, because right now there's not a single data point in that database.
Right.
So I asked Tina to look into why that was and to try to get those data in there, and so she's taken that on and is, I guess is emailing people, but I have no idea of how long it will take them to get it in there.
Ed, are you talking about the couple variables we added to dysmorphology or the whole alcohol?
About that whole alcohol maternal data.
Okay. So, you know, that is a set of code that we created and put out there, but frankly, it hasn't gone in through any sort of field testing. So if and when people get in to start uploading there, there's going to be a few bumps as we get it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think anybody has the data even ready to come close to uploading, except maybe Tina.
Is the structure of the database close to for them to do the input?
Yeah, right now I'd say it's a beta and still needs to be tested to make sure that everything goes in right. But, I mean, Andy spent a lot of time creating that database right up front because we thought it was one of the real important ones to get done if we were going to relate any outcomes to alcohol exposure. But no one's using it.
So. Yeah. The history there was when we were in Vancouver, a group huddled and came up with what was considered the core questions, and it was about 20 or so. And then not too long after that, we decided to create an expanded set, which actually modeled everything that was going on in Russia. And I believe the sense of the times is that Tina and Sandy had gotten together and decided that that was the right way to move forward. So I don't know how that input impacts, you know, someone like Phil who has a set of data. I don't know, you know, precisely whether the core data they would get out of there is broad enough or deep enough, those sort of things.
Well, I'd like to see some get some up into there. You know.
Is Phil on this call?
No, Phil's in North Dakota. So that's where we are there. Any other comments? In terms of imaging, it looks like South Africa may not be interested in being involved in imaging.
Say that again, Ed. I missed it.
In terms of brain imaging, Phil is not sure that they're going to be able to participate in that component. But it, like I said, he's in North Dakota. And so I really need to talk to him about it, because I'm not sure whether it's a logistical problem or whether he thinks this is his new prospective study. So I need to talk with him before going into any more about that.
So who's doing brain scanning now?
Well, it would just be, well, Elizabeth's here, but San Diego and Los Angeles, if Los Angeles is included as a new site. And the possibility would also be to do it in St. Petersburg, if St. Petersburg's added as a new site.
Why can't we call Los Angeles and why can't we put Los Angeles and San Diego together and call it Southern California?
Yeah, we could do that.
So the key would be, you know, the kids I'm seeing were diagnosed either by Mary O'Connor or John Graham.
Right. So I have to see them.
Yeah.
So yeah. What I mean, that's, I mean, either I or Gene or Luther have to see them. So
okay.
It's probably, I mean, clearly
if you're
I'm
close. You're willing.
It's not a question of being willing or not willing. It's part of the job for us.
Okay.
That's part of our responsibility.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that you're willing to have your, I guess, core. I don't know if you're still going to be a core, but have one of your people get down here and do that.
Yeah, and in line with that, Ken and I have talked about including the dysmorphology as a core, a small core where he would then be available, or he or one of his other dysmorphologists would be available to go and ascertain new clients, to look at new kids as necessary, so that sites could still add on additional kids and they'd be seen by the same original group of dysmorphologists. Although we don't envision anything like I think Ken did the first year or two with going to everywhere and looking at so many kids.
Right. It would appear to me that it's going to be primarily Southern California, so L.A. and San Diego, and then Moscow, and then Ukraine. If Ukraine comes on in St. Petersburg, if St. Petersburg comes on. And one of the nice things about going to Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Ukraine is that they can be done relatively inexpensively because they're all in the same fantastic area of the world.
Right, and Sarah,
little garden spot.
Yeah, and Sarah may want to tell everybody what a good job Ken is doing.
Right.
No, I'm serious because we had some interesting data, right, Sarah?
Yeah, we did.
You'll be happy to know, Ken, that you're doing a great job.
That's what I appreciate hearing that.
Well, we had the bright idea of, you know, how we did the classification analyses to see how well we could classify kids based on neurobehavior. And so we had the bright idea of checking to see whether dysmorphology could classify the kids. And lo and behold, 100% of the kids with FAS were classified as FAS.
Wow.
But 86% of... 14% of controls were also classified as FAS. We only included kids with FAS. We didn't test the middle group, the deferred and no kids. That's our next step. my thinking is that what I think is that dysmorphology won't do as good of a job on those middle kids, but behavior will do a better job. Whereas
right.
We didn't do as good of a job as dysmorphology, obviously, classifying the kids with dysmorphia.
Right. Now, just for my help in terms of thinking about this,
mm-hmm.
Is this not a bit of a circular argument?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is a circular argument. They have to have FAS because we use the 5-6 features, palpebral fissure, height, weight, head circumference, lip, and vermilion.
Yeah, but how did you say that 100%, how do you come up with the figure that 100% of the kids that have FAS, we
have
called
FAS.
FAS. Yeah.
Because what we did was we put the 6 variables into this latent classification model. We determined that the 2-class model, if you remember, it's exactly the same as what we did with the behavior data, but we determined that a 2-class model was the best model. And kids, so there's class 1 and class 2, and 100% of the kids in FAS were classified in class 2, and 86% of the controls were classified in class 1, and that based on these six variables.
The computer doesn't know that they're diagnosed FAS.
The computer doesn't know that.
It just the outcome of those six measurements.
Okay.
And using those six measurements, it correctly classified 100% of the FAS kids.
Okay.
Yay.
So it's kind of
we're going to publish it in Science.
Right.
Kind of a silly argument, but it's nice to know.
Well, we wanted to make sure that our classification system
worked.
Working, right.
And so we used something that we know had to work.
A computer.
What?
A computer.
Yeah. Well, no, we used the variables that had to, because they're part of the diagnosis, had to work.
Right, I got you.
So that's why we did it that way.
Oh, that's good.
You're not letting any kids get diagnosed FAS who aren't like every other kid with FAS.
Right.
You know, it's so I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Sarah, did you get my email about the testing?
Uh-huh, I did.
Okay.
All right, any other concerns, questions?
Ed, this is Charlie. I maybe missed something here. Can you tell me what populations will be involved in the neuroimaging projects?
That would have been my question.
Oh, right now it looks like it will be Southern California, and the only other site where there would be a reasonable population to do this in and imaging facilities would be St. Petersburg, if that's added on as a site, or Washington, Seattle, Washington, if that would be added on as a site.
And what about Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta, if they want to submit a proposal. You know, I know that Washington, Seattle does, and I know St. Petersburg would.
We don't know for sure that Seattle does for older children.
I got an email from Janet Huggins, and they would be interested in putting in an older child project. They didn't necessarily mention imaging.
Okay.
You would know that they would at least have the facilities there to do it if someone wanted to use the same population.
Well, without South Africa, will there be any of these populations in which there is reasonably accurate prospective drinking data?
I don't believe so.
You mean for scanning, Charlie?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because we can't scan in Moscow, but we've got.
I know you got great data there, but
well, they're also really young. Little.
Yeah,
they're also really little.
Well, the thing that Bill did mention, and I think it may be more logistical rather than not a desire to want to get the kids involved in imaging.
Well, my concern here, Ed, is that the greatest point of articulation, if we go forward with the sheep model, is where we can compare something where we know something about the drinking quantity, frequency, duration kinds of questions that's reasonably accurate. I mean, it's not a requirement, but it would be a big advantage if we had that.
Right, and the group that really had that would have been the Jacobson.
Right.
And they're doing an imaging study in South Africa that's funded by the Fogarty, a functional imaging study. But as you know, they're not going to continue in this, so... Yeah.
I would even just be most interested in some quantitative structural imaging too. I know you can get that from the groups there in Southern California and already have. But
Now, according to Colleen Adams, the group of kids that Sandy and Joe have, they know who those kids are, and they could bring them in. It's just that they're not sure they could ever get the maternal data on that group, whether Sandy or Joe would share that.
Wasn't that already of them as part of this, you know, past work?
No, their alcohol data actually wasn't collected as part of the consortium, I don't believe. I mean, they could argue, I think, that it was collected as part of their previous project. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, that's what they would argue.
Well, I don't want to pursue this. It's going to get pretty troublesome, but...
So, Charlie, I'm sorry.
It's just that's the only way that our sheep approach is going to really be informative is if we can make comparisons between the manipulations we do in the sheep and what might be known in the human.
Well, Charlie, you can take it up with them independent of.
I realize that.
You know,
I will probably do so.
All right.
Can you do neurobehavioral testing in sheep, Charlie?
Yes, we think so.
Yeah. Okay.
We probably can't get a very good measure of dyscalculia, though.
Right. Yeah.
But we can do some, yes.
Anything else? Any other comments, concerns? Everything well in Boston, Michael?
Everything is good. I'm still catching up.
Okay. All righty. Well, like I said, it was going to be a short call because we really weren't even going to have it. But thank you all for joining in. And if you have concerns, email me or Jonathan. And
is Kathy Sulik on this?
On the
telephone?
She's on vacation.
On vacation.
Is it your impression that she is going to submit a proposal?
Yes.
Yes?
She has already submitted a preliminary proposal.
She has?
Yes.
Any chance, I guess there's not, of you sending that around so that we who have interest in collaborating in some way with her could get an idea about what she's planning to do? Or is that not legitimate?
You could contact her.
Well, she's on vacation.
She's away for a couple of weeks, but let me look at it and see if there's anything proprietary in there.
Okay.
I suspect that there isn't, and if someone wants to see Kathy's proposal, why don't you send me an email?
Okay.
It's actually something that, you know, really Kathy and I and probably Elizabeth Saul have to work out some kind of idea about how to approach brain development and imaging things, but it's still, you know, it's at the discussion stage, and I'm not sure, you know, how fully developed it's going to be in terms of these five-page proposals between the 1st of August.
Kathy and I corresponded on, having a common aim.
Right.
It was not a primary aim because clearly it's all exploratory and we won't have preliminary data, maybe. Charlie, I assume
I think with the sheep work, the common aim is really straightforward. It's not,
you and I should talk about that before
I
put my...
Certain basic aim can be shared across or from different species.
Right.
That's what we've decided to do with, neurobehavior, neuroimaging, and then when I corresponded with Kathy about the mouse and human, we decided to have common wording in our aims, so the sort of order of aims and priority for each project will be different, obviously.
Right.
But the same aim.
And the points where they are have cross-fertilization should be clear.
Mm-hmm.
The other development I want to bring up is that we're trying to entertain this a fusion between MRI and micro CT that give you the information from the soft tissue as well as the heart tissues.
Right.
For the head and the brain.
I think we can do that here in Indiana.
Yes, I think I already arranged with them. I scanned a few to get this potential to line up.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Well, thank you all and all. And again, any concerns, just email away.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Office.
Pardon?
Are you at office?
Say it again, Fung.
Are you at office?
Yeah, I've got to go over to the research and sponsored program here shortly, but...
Okay. After that, would you talk a little bit?
Sure.
Give me a call, or I can give you a call.
I'll give you a call.
All right.
All right.
Probably in the office, yeah.
Sure.
All right.